May is recognized as Water Safety Month, and this timing is pretty perfect. We are obviously in the warmer months of the year. We also just passed Memorial Day weekend, which many associate as the unofficial start to the summertime. And so we thought it was a good time to talk about the importance of water safety, kids knowing how to swim, water confidence, and honestly, the difference between where you are swimming, pools, Long Island Sound, the ocean. So joining us now is Jen Word, who is the founder and CEO of Coral Care. And Jen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Jen, first of all, what is Coral Care?
Coral Care is a place for parents to access pediatric speech, occupational, and physical therapy. So we're a very large team of clinicians in 9 states. We're in Connecticut across the state. And our team comes to the house to work with your child for evaluations and ongoing care as needed.
How important, Jen, is it that kids have the skills to learn how to swim? Would you say that is a basic, you know, skill that they should just have, regardless if they have a swimming pool, if they like to go to the beach? Is this just one of the things that they should, you know, learn to do?
Well, I think the challenge is that drowning is the leading cause of death for children. And so accidents can happen in the water. They can happen when you think your child is out of the water. And so learning how to swim is just a critical safety skill as well as a developmental skill.
What are some of the things that you see? First of all, what would you say is a good age range to start getting swimming instruction?
Any age range is great. I started my own children, I think, at like 3 or 6 months. There's a lot of sensory support that goes into getting into a pool. And my own daughter struggled with gross motor delays, so with larger body movements, and even a baby getting into the water. Beyond the sensory experience for them, it's an opportunity to build motor skills, balance, coordination in a different way that can really help them, support them on the ground as well.
Tell me a little bit more about that, Jen. You know, developmental delays or sensory sensitivities. I know my son had that. Or even motor coordination challenges, even communicating, you know, how these things can be worked out and, you know, look at sort of that correlation between those things and swimming activities.
So swimming is a big sensory experience. The temperature of the water, if it's too cold, too warm, some kids can be sensitive to that. Some kids are great. You bring them to the beach and you think they're having so much fun splashing around, and then you put them in a pool and they refuse to put their face in. That's a very common sensory challenge for kids. It's not behavioral. It's overwhelming. Their nervous system is working really hard to get through it. Water also, as they get deeper into the water, can provide deep pressure, which for some kids is fantastic for them. They become kind of less reactive. But for some kids, that can be overwhelming as well.
You're fine. That is really fascinating, though, why does that happen, where different bodies of water trigger different reactions out of children?
It's this kind of the same as with adults, right? So like a pool is very calm and as a feeling for many adults who are used to swimming. It's there. You know that you can get in on your own time. You put your toes in, you sit on the edge of the pool, you adjust to the temperature of the water. There's less splashing, less waves, less uncertainty. You can see what's at the bottom. That creates a very different experience than the beach. That being said, the beach can actually be the exact opposite, because the beach can be very peaceful if there aren't a lot of people there. It's more spread out. A lot of kids have positive sensory experiences with sand. And then the pool, you know, a crowded town pool, kids are throwing things. It's loud. It can kind of create the exact opposite experience.
So again, we've got Jen Word here, who is the founder and CEO of Coral Care. And we're talking about water safety skills and getting kids into the water and comfortable, and also understanding that, you know, different atmospheres are going to feel different. You know, so for example, kids might react in Long Island Sound differently than they would in a swimming pool. And it's interesting, Jen, I was talking about how even when we talk about swimming safety this time of year, how we don't always kind of think outside of our own space. So for example, if you have a swimming pool at your home, you're used to kind of the control of that environment. But then when you move the kid to Long Island Sound, or even if you go from Long Island Sound to the open ocean in California, for example, it's very different. And so how do you properly, I wouldn't even say just for kids, but I'd say even adults, kind of make sure that they can handle and recognize the different types of swimming environments?
It's interesting. We get asked a lot, like, how does speech therapy play into all of this? And I think that's really, really where I want to start to answer this question. Children need to be able to communicate their needs. They need to be able to say, I'm scared. I don't like that. I don't know how to do this. I've never been in the ocean. They need to be able to follow multi-step directions. So if you're like, hey, we're going to go to the beach, we need to go in together. So we have to wait for everybody to take off their cover up and take off their shoes, and then we're going to go in. Not all children can process multiple directions at the same time and might immediately run into the water. And that's obviously a safety issue. And so we work a lot on following multi-step directions, preparing ahead of time. One trick that our occupational therapists leverage a lot is called a social story. It's essentially when you map out what a child can expect in a lot of detail for the course of the day. And that's a great way to talk about, to layer safety in. Like, it's not safe to go in the water when mommy's not there. We need to all go in together. I need to always be able to see you. You need to tell me if you're about to get out. You can model that in advance by saying, hey, we're going to go there together. We're going to take off our shoes. We're going to do this. And you can practice that as you're driving to the sound or as you're driving to the pool.
The other thing too, Jen, is what would be your recommendation? I know obviously you focus on pediatrics, but I would imagine much like driving a car, when we say that if you're driving, don't text and drive because the littles in the back seat are seeing it and they're going to pick up those habits. How important is it that adults also are recognizing that water is different in different places and the importance of wearing a life jacket, for example, or the importance of checking if the tide is in or out? That we set an example as adults, but also take our water safety seriously. You know, even though you're a strong swimmer, it doesn't mean you won't get caught in a rip current. It doesn't mean you won't have a cramp in your leg. And it does, you know, how important is it that we also mirror that as adults?
That's the most important. The reality is, like, we have to put our phones down. If you're sitting at the pool and you're on your phone, you're not paying attention. An accident can happen in 1 second. Even, like, I know as a parent, you're so desperate to talk to the other parent that's there. But even just that minute of turning your head to have a conversation, you lose focus on the water. And so choosing the safest flotation devices, like floaties or not on armbands, are really not safe. And most importantly, paying attention to your kids at all times around water and not just when they're in the water.
This sounds silly too, Jen, but I was thinking about this where you're used to the pool, for example, that's at your relative's house, right? So your kid grew up going in that pool, fine. But then if you go to an Airbnb or you go to a hotel and now you're talking about a much bigger pool, maybe one that's deeper, maybe one that has a different liner that it's harder to spot them. I don't know. It's different than what you are used to. Again, kind of owning your space. What would you say, you know, is the most effective way to make sure your kids also adapt to different swimming areas that even you are not familiar with? You know, we're all going to this new Airbnb. We're all going to this new hotel, whatever, and all of us have a new experience with this pool. What is the best thing to do? I mean, is it as simple as having the parent go into the pool first, check the water temperature, see how deep it is? I don't know what you suggest.
Yeah, I think a parent minimally needs to be sitting on the edge, paying 100% attention, checking out, like walking around the perimeter of the pool, understanding the situation. A lot of hotels, it's really, and pools in general, it can be really slippery around the edge and kids can fall, slip in. My family went to a pool recently where my kids like to jump in, and the pool had like a fancy edge to it. And so there were about 7 inches of extra edge that weren't visible. Mm. And so had my kids not taken a big jump, they would have hit their heads going in. And so it's so important to not just assume, oh, my kids can swim. They're good. You really do need to check out the entire situation.
Yeah. And I think the same goes for open water. You know, you jump off the boats and things like that. And it's great. But I mean, you have to also take into account alcohol if it's on the boat. And again, it's not to say that you can't enjoy it, but it's when we're in control that we're good. But as soon as we're in an unfamiliar territory or we're doing something that is not the status quo, I mean, I don't know if you have statistics on that, but that is when I would imagine a drowning could take place.
Yeah, there's actually like 69% of drownings in kids under four happen during non-swim time. So this is like when a kid is not expected to be near the water. And that's why like fences around pools with like self-latching gates, locked doors leading to pools, not leaving a kiddie pool full in the backyard when you don't expect children to be using it, and pets as well. It's just swimming, the beach, the pool can create some of the best memories for families in summer. Can be so important developmentally for everyone. Summer's long. It's hot. It's a great opportunity to get outside, but you have to be careful.
Yeah, definitely. Jen Wirt, I want to thank you and your team at Coral Care for what you do. And thank you so much for talking about this here on WACC. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Jen Wirt, again, who is the founder and CEO of Coral Care right here on WACC.